This week on The Droids, Kennedy Speaks. We cover all things Celebration on the pod.
Did you hear that?
These are the droids you're looking for.
These are the droids you're looking for.
I'm no one.
It's always a bigger fish.
Hello there.
Rebellions are built on hope.
What they grow beyond.
Hello, alongside Chris. Hi, this new voice you're hearing for new listeners,
hey,
the
Mike.
Thousands of you.
Oh, wait.
Is Sam.
Sam's back, baby.
I'm back.
He's back.
I'm back. And I'm back. I'll say I'm back permanently for definitely at least the duration of this episode.
You're not going to leave halfway through.
Well, unless you do run long. I did tell you I had a hard out.
Yeah, that's true. We got you for the full up. Well, it's good. It's nice to have you back, buddy. It's
hey,
I know
man.
You were out there on the outer rim, splicing and spicing, running spice.
You know, when you're a scruffy looking nerf herding moof milker, just trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
sometimes
hard.
You
can't
know,
just
sometimes
be chatting all day.
You're too far out from the. If there's a bright center to the galaxy, you're too far from it. You lose track of people.
That's good.
It's been good. It's been good reasons that I've been busy. It's been sad to miss the records, but just schedules have not been such
it
that
happens.
I could join. I'm sad that we're missing Mike and Ryan tonight, but I'm glad I can be here and fill in.
Yeah.
And it's great to like be back and checking in with now. The format's changed. It's now a live call-in show. So I should, all right, we'll go to the boards.
No.
First
oh,
caller.
No. It's it's like that
Hello?
Sketch with the pre-recorded call-in show.
Hello. No. Oh, Chris, I don't know. We have.
This is
you
a good
guys
word.
Told me. You guys told me. You guys told me this is how you did it now.
Well, no, this, I mean, this is Patreon content. No, it's good to have you here. I mean, I think if you're going to be here, you picked the right one to be here. And that is, of course, it is Star Wars Celebration.
We're celebrating.
We just had Star Wars Celebration Weekend this past weekend, August. Oh, no. This is bad. Recorded later at night, too. Usually, I get the energy up. But April, what was it, like 8th through the
10th? I was going to tell you. I was actually going to say, for all the time I've been out, I was really going to commend you. You really do get the energy up.
Yeah, I bring it out. This is where the fun begins. That's what
because I know how difficult it is for you to do this, and I would say that you know for the podcast that we've insisted on continually producing and self producing, it's really admirable.
Well,
that,
usually
that,
what happens,
and I appreciate
is,
that you show up and talk into the mic.
What
I'll
happens
be honest,
is
that's all I need.
It's usually a scenario where I'm talking into the microphone, and then whoever joins me and I hit record captures.
Right,
by part
right.
of the conversation.
Are you?
But
no,
no,
you are now. You are recording this.
I. Oh, wait a second. All right, if you're just joining us, I'll tell you about what I just previously said. But no, Sam, how was your celebration weekend? Did you catch up on the news? Did you see it all? Do you watch it with a fine tooth comb, or do you catch the highlights?
I I'm definitely in the catch the highlights camp. You know, this weekend was also for my household. It was Passover and Easter, which means you know some family and friend gathering time. You know, and I think many people do things this weekend. So, but I did manage to keep. Hey, look, I know I haven't been on the pod in quite a while, but I'm still on that text thread.
We got
a
thread,
and I am committed. I do read everything.
Yes.
I watch. Everything, which I think is more than we can say for some of the people on
and
the thread.
You know? The thread is technically property of the Droids Pod network as well. So,
well, and we will be publishing it for our Patreon members.
It's all IP.
So,
if you
commit at the Corellian Cruiser level, which is only $500 a month, we will be publishing the text thread in the timeline. Prior to 2033, there will be an in-print edition. Now, it might be...
Oh, I like that.
You know, I just I just today I popped a new toner in my printer, so we're ready.
Or even a literal imprint, yeah.
Minimum viable product.
That's good. That's good.
No, that's good. So I kept up. You know, want to know something fun about text threads?
Yeah,
is that even when media gets pulled down from the internet because it's in violation of copyright?
Yeah.
You can still play that video.
Those little previews will stick around.
I saw 1 minute of several of those trailers.
Yes, exactly. The little loophole. So, of course, we're talking about, they kind of break the celebration into two parts. One is kind of like the live show. That's what us just average peasants can see on the...
Well, it's rather Dickensian.
Yeah, exactly. You pay a little extra cash, you show up to London, and then you can go... I mean, fitting that it is Dickensian. You show up and you show up to London, you can go see the panels. So that's a good metaphor there. But I think...
So for us plebs...
Yeah, so we...
There's the stuff that everybody's talking about.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that too.
I mean, and you get little snippets of it. And so, of course... rather than just kind of beating around the loath cat.
Excuse me?
Wait a second. That's a peek behind the loath cat. I'm trying to come up with a new one. But so, I mean, the big news. I made a list as I was kind of watching. And I do recommend if you kind of want to catch up on the coverage and all the interesting bits, the Star Wars YouTube channel where they aired, you can watch them in full if you want of the public broadcast. They're like 7 hours a day, very long, but they do a nice playlist kind of all like the interviews, and you just kind of miss some of the kind of the more commercial bits where they're kind of showing the new merch, which is, there's some of those are pretty cool, but.
And if you're a cam boy like Chris, you can find the cam recordings. Do I have that title right?
Yeah.
I'm sure
that's what they call it.
I'm sure it's about close enough.
That's my head name. Yeah. We kind of run through the recap. To start it off, they kicked off, they had a bit of a Lucasfilm kind of studio retrospective or studio showcase, as they called it. Mm-hmm. And they did not publish much of this online, but the big news to come out of that is there's going to be three new Star Wars films.
I think we have to start at the top, right? There's kind of, why save it, right? We're going back to the cinema.
Yeah.
Right?
This is...
Just like Nicole wants us to.
Yep. Once again, I mean, I think as Star Wars fans, we've been told this many times, many iterations. This would be, what, the fourth set of films that were announced unmade?
And the second time they've announced James Mangold.
So I'm super hopeful. It seems this kind of era seems legit.
Two of these directors seem to me fairly unfireable, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think Mangold is, we've talked about him on the pod before, and I kind of share Ryan's opinion, or at least I hope I'm getting your opinion right, because this is what I remember you saying it, that it's like, I kind of agree and view him as like, he's the best version of a journeyman director that we have today. He makes really, really high quality, well-made, populist down the middle of the plate films.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. They got a little edge to them, but they also are very crowd pleasing, and like they have the kind of that movie magic that's in there, and you can really tell
I say that with love, I don't say that disparagingly. I think there's a sad thing that we've kind of lost the place of the journeyman director, in like this weird like age of just like you're either a franchise, you're either an auteur who's done a franchise, or an auteur looking for a franchise, and so it's kind of, I mean, I know we're talking about Star Wars, kind of the biggest, the crown jewel franchise of them all, but I think that he's of the old mold of like, you look at his filmography, he's done a little bit of everything, he's done all of it pretty darn well.
Yeah,
he makes movies that are compelling that you don't really find fault in, and I think, you know, you look at, he's coming off, he's successfully made, now we'll see how it's received, but he's successfully made the fifth and final, I presume, Indiana Jones, you know?
Yeah.
This guy's not, Disney's not, Disney and Lucasfilm aren't like, they're keeping him on for this.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's kind of one of those, also almost like a surefire bet, the same way your tenant Tony Gilroy combo is, right? They're kind of these heavy hitters, these dead ringers that were, these were names that also have been thrown around since the beginning of the Disney merger as well. And I think giving these guys the kind of the opportunity to really play with this stuff is great. And so his movie is going to be kind of dealing with the beginnings of the Force.
It's about, it's, if I'm right, I believe it's I think it's about Yosus. It's a biblical epic he described it as.
The parting of the blue milk.
Parting of the Dune Sea.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, exactly. But I mean, yeah, I do think it will be this kind of faith-based finding of the Force. Could be interesting. I don't know what that entails or where it connects. I mean, again, they will pitch us these high concept ideas. I'll take it with a bowl of salt. I'm still excited nonetheless. I think he was originally talked about doing the Obi-Wan Boba Fett in the desert movie long time ago on a soundstage far away.
We have both those as series now. We have Book of Boba Fett and we have the Obi-Wan series. And I want to ask now we haven't seen his film yet. It's obviously just been announced, although Kennedy says they're well into development, which I think was a pointed statement to be like, hey guys, this time it's for real.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she's had a lot of misfires with directors and things that have fallen apart, right?
Yep.
So she seemed to be really strongly trying to indicate these ones are happening.
Yes.
And if that's indeed true, you know, we'll get to see the work he actually puts out. But for my money, I still would have rather his film than what we ended up with. I've got to be honest. Those were two letdowns.
I mean, I feel like if it was somewhere earlier in the pipeline, or if maybe pandemic didn't happen, it would have been in the cards earlier. But this is kind of the reality that we lived in, and the reality that Disney's Lucasfilm has had to create. So happy to see what he can bring.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't, you know, there's too little to go on, right?
Yeah, exactly. They give us, I mean, that's kind of the name of this game, though, right? Is they give us literally a name and, like, a movie concept, and we're like, what is this going to be? And then we'll lose our minds at a trailer, and then we'll either be elated or disappointed.
Best thing ever, worst thing ever.
Yeah, exactly. That's our, thus is the fandom. Along with Mangold, we've got, of course, I mean, they might as well call this Star Wars Filoni Celebration, because the amount of times and goodwill this man has got this weekend, and deservedly so, they've announced he's going to make a movie, and it's apparently the sum of all these TV series parts.
And
that's the idea.
So my hope is that they give him the budget and the length of leash that he needs to make a really great film. And I hope he knocks it out of the park, because this is the guy I've wanted a film from forever.
Right.
And it's Ahsoka. It's his baby. You know, it's like, I mean, well, she'll be involved, right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And hopefully, I mean, I really hope that they kind of remove the TV paint and put on the movie paint for this.
I'm a little nervous about that I'm a little worried that, you know, he's a first-time film director,
right? I hope this isn't gonna be like a
fairly
made...
limited I think this is gonna feel like a miniseries. I think this right is gonna feel...
And we've talked about it previously in the pod. Do you think this could potentially be Disney's first, like, straight to streaming Star Wars movie?
I do think it could. I think I had yes I do
Is this
think
going
that.
To be
I think
a theatrical it could be a release?
I think it could be a Disney Plus event, a live Disney Plus event.
Yeah. Oh, alive! I like that. Oh,
appointment television is like your drug.
What if it's a stage show?
I think they should. I heard he's going to do it live. I can't confirm. I've heard he's gonna
oh
live.
Yeah, you were, yeah, yeah. And then the third movie announced, and it maybe notably the biggest news, and I feel like I'm still like digesting it, is by Shermin Obaid Shenoy, 2-time Oscar winner, will be directing a new Star Wars movie.
Well, what's she directing, Chris?
So
why do you bring her up?
She will be bringing back Rey.
Yeah, Daisy Ridley. Okay, you're digesting. Tell me, how's it going down? How are you feeling? What are you thinking?
What are you questioning? I feel like Mike and I mentioned the news last episode when we were recapping The Mandalorian. And I was kind of like, yeah, she's coming back. And then in my head, I wasn't really thinking about it. And I was like, wait a second. Rey is coming back. One of the most beloved Star Wars characters of the last 10 years. Arguably just like one of the coolest. I mean, she's coming back. What is she doing? I don't know. She's leading the new Jedi Order. They kind of had this timeline on the wall, and it was like all the phases. And this was this is kind of what we've all been waiting for, is to finally like move forward.
So this is my biggest thing with my what I was gonna say, and I wanted to get through all these that you know, with Mangold being announced, I thought, okay, this guy, you know, kind of he's a by the numbers hit maker. He's a sure hand. He's done big budget stuff. He's coming off indie. But again, we're going back like prequel. We're going farther back. We're going back before this happened, and it's, you know, it's just anything like that feels like it's a nostalgia play that's going to end or include some kind of, you know, tip of the Loathcats to, you know, right. Tips of the Loathcat to like series in jokes is just like, oh God,
we don't need that.
I always want things to go forward. It's partly why, and I'm not fully caught up, but I know that like it's having quite a positive response. This latest season of Picard, it's part of what I like about that. Like I wanted Star Trek to move forward for so long. We kept going back, and I was like, just take it into the future. It's a future show. What are you doing?
We need to move forward. So, and I think this movie by Shermin Obaid Shenoy is, she made Miss Marvel, or directed Miss Marvel, which was a fantastic series.
She did two episodes of it. She directed.
And it's a really well-made series, and it's like very fun and adventurous. And I could see like now the gears are spinning. Like I feel like she is very playful in a way that Star Wars needs to be, and also with a character like Rey, where it's like Rey is a fun character and can be fun. And I think in the right capable director, I think it's like a perfect match. So here's the big question.
How do you think there is a path that they can overcome the rise of Skywalker?
See, that is like, I just feel like Daisy Ridley specifically and Rey just didn't get a fair shake at the end.
Did not at all.
I feel like, and she took a brunt a lot of the kind of just like, all right, it's over. Like it almost fizzled out.
I go back and. I think, you know, famously, I've still not, I will not, unless we ever do a drink through, I will not rewatch that movie.
Sure.
I'll do it if we want to, you know, pour one out.
So I really hope, I
think that when you look at that movie and that performance and that direction and that where that character ends, if you go back to The Force Awakens, it's so starkly different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a backwards arc. She opens the movie series with such delight and hope and optimism.
Right.
And she ends it with this weird, like, stoicism and resolve and, like, kind of on a downbeat, and she's alone. It's such a bummer of an arc for her character.
So I really...
I'm like... But for me, the biggest challenge is, you know, I recently kind of experienced this with one of my beloved series, you know, Bond. I think that, like, you know, Daniel Craig had a very uneven run. He had some of the series' all-time highs. Anybody listening, have you got that? All-time high? All-time high?
Gotcha.
It's an Octopussy reference.
Yeah. Wow.
But
you'll get this when you re-listen to the podcast.
But, yeah, I'm the sole listener who is going to appreciate that joke. But, you know, it had some of the best in the series. And then he also, you know, I think the reason we got No Time to Die, which I'm a fan of, it was polarizing, but like we got that movie because Spectre really didn't land for people. And I think that Daisy Ridley had the same feeling with Ray and they had the same feeling with the sequel trilogy where they're like, we didn't stick the landing.
We botched the landing. Yeah. And she just, I just feel like a character that we all invested so much into and just like such a part of, and just to have it almost kind of be like, I feel like all three of them, like Poe, Finn, and Rey, and Kylo. Like, I was just thinking, like,
JJ's
today.
JJ's unbelievable at beginnings. He's so unbelievable at, like, just, the just instant.
They
like,
were just, I mean, the celebration, I was thinking, like, they didn't even mention, like, I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, Adam Driver's in a Star Wars. Like, it's like they didn't even, it's like that part of the history is not even talked about. So I'm really happy that they're, like, finally opening that door again. And honestly, I think they should really just like go for it, embrace it, because it's all new territory. I think people are clamoring for it. I think,
and I think you famously were excited about. You're glad that the film kind of about the rebuilding of the Jedi Order and the Jedi Temple is. You were happy. I think you said that it's not going to feature Luke. Is that right?
I mean,
I think the fan base is going to be thrilled about that.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a high probability that there's going to be a Force Luke in this.
Hell no.
20 million percent. But we'll see. We'll see about that. I mean, that's could be a contract issue, but I'm pretty sure if you give Hamill the option, he's gonna. No. I think he probably
signs.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as he heard the deal, I'm sure he was out there. But I do. So I think. Kind of leading into this. So those were kind of like the three big theatrical. Those, it seems like they're really pinning the set piece on these three movies and kind
I'll
of covering the beginning, middle, and end of Star Wars, really, which is kind of neat. So you got the beginning of the Force, you got the kind of the middle bits with all these series kind of wrapping stuff up, and then you got the
pre-sequel. The series is kind of the pre-sequel.
And now you got the sequel, and I think it was talking to Mike last week, and it was saying, like, there's a generation now also that oh my gosh, Force Awakens is almost 10 years old. So there's going to be a generation that saw this thing when there's going to be a kid that was 10 years old that saw Force Awakens. It's going to be now 20 years old going to the theater, seeing Rey again back in action. So that's going to be pretty exciting for a lot of people. So I think that's
depressing.
Yeah. Isn't that wild? So I think that's kind of like, we're almost venturing now into prequels, original trilogy timelines, and then also getting into the mix between the prequels and the sequel trilogy. So these kind of timelines are starting to really be sprawling. So we're having a generational gap. So
God, Daisy Ridley's only 31 right now.
Yeah.
Also,
yeah,
she could do this if she so wished.
Yeah.
She could do this for 30 more years.
I bet if she was like, I want to make one of these every 2 years, done. But to kind of lead into that, I do think the biggest set piece of this alongside these films was the Ahsoka trailer. I mean, they are ready. They're going all in. The pedal is on the floor.
This was my highlight.
Yeah.
I think we all had a collective... You know, we collectively ran through Clone Wars together.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the course of a few years, we didn't do it together, right? But we asynchronously ran through Clone Wars.
Just in the course of the vicinity of each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Because all of us had to some degree slept on it. Some of us had watched some of the episodes, right?
Yeah.
I know that you and Mike were pretty deep into Rebels, but
just so many of them.
But the fact that Filoni, you know, created this character, he has a deep affinity for it. I think, you know, wherever you come down, I know there's some controversy about Rosario Dawson, but look, she's pretty great casting. She's a home run for the role,
right.
and it's delivering on a promise and bringing back characters from animation into live action with the guy who's kind of got the deepest knowledge of the characters. I'm so thrilled. I think I have one misgiving, and only one, and it's kind of a nitpicky thing. I really like Rosario Dawson as an actor. I'm getting a read that she's like not as confident on the physical stuff. Like, I
interesting.
Do you feel like the clips of action that we've seen? I feel like she hits her marks. Do you know what I mean by that?
I kind of do. I think that could also be just given the nature of how these things are made.
Like, I think that also might be. They have to put this so it's on such rails. It has to be made so fast.
I think we're working with a TV action set, and I think that might come across a little bit. But I kind of see what you're saying. Yeah, I would say like for me, and it's kind of almost. I know you're not caught up on the latest season of Mando. There's like a cleanness to everything now that is not like. I get there's new stuff can be new and shiny, and there's almost like a design element where things aren't looking like weathered for the world they're in. And I feel like I don't know how to describe this really. I feel like I've noticed with all the trailers I saw this weekend, there was kind of like a shine to things that was like it didn't look like it belonged sometimes.
Chris, do you know what it looks like?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly, and I know the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah.
Okay, here it is.
Yeah.
Every single one of the trailers that we saw looks like the Claritin commercial before the person takes the Claritin and they remove the film.
Yeah.
It's like there's this weird, there's like a Photoshop layer of a 10% opacity white layer over everything.
There's something
so there's
on
just
it.
No there's it's like there's no true blacks.
Yeah.
And everything looks just like it's just like dialed up just a little bright.
Yes.
And it just lets you see into like it lets you see into corners you're not supposed to see into. It's it drives me
and
nuts.
And I don't know what that is, and I don't know if that's like the Star Wars shows is it the volume or is it just like we want all the shows to have this like look so that's like a uniform set or something like that. Kind of how they went back and remastered all the Matrix movies to look the same fluorescent green. That,
I mean, the travesty of like trying to track down like an actual appropriately color graded version of the Matrix is so hard. And the ones it's like when you add in the compression of trying to watch that on HBO, it's like
blinding.
It's so disgusting.
That was just one general note I saw. It's just, but going back to this trailer though, like I think the trailer looks like, first off, we get to see the introduction of Sabine, oh my gosh, I'm so terrible with names. Mary Elizabeth Winstead comes back.
What's that character's name from Rebels?
Hera. O'Hara.
I did not clock, like watching the trailer like three times, I didn't clock that was Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah,
which it's like, look, you're married.
Yeah, she's Hera.
Ewan McGregor, or maybe they're not married, I don't know, they have a kid together, she and Ewan McGregor. It's like,
interesting.
Yeah, she was gonna turn
Obi-Wan and Hera. There you go.
It's canonical.
Start the shipping. But yeah, so it just looked cool. It's great to see these live action versions. Spoiler alert for you, Sam, we saw Zeb, kind of the big blue alien guy in a recent episode of Mandalorian, so I would suspect we'll see him soon in this. But I do believe like I think this is the real deal. I think this is the show Filoni wanted to make all along, and I think it was a long path to get here. But and then the big reveal that Lars Mikkelsen will be playing Thrawn. I mean, I think we have a new big bad in town, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope they play it to the best of their ability. I hope they're not going to get caught up in plot. In a way that makes the show like heavy to trust.
I hate plot.
Like I hope. So the one thing I will say, and this kind of might tie into Filoni's movie, and this might also tie into kind of these other two movies, is that I do believe, and based on Rebels, there might be some kind of time traveling aspect to this, and they kind of hint at things in the trailer. This, and if you look at the logos of the movie, of the show, you'll kind of see it's like almost like little clock ticking kind of things spinning around. So I think I don't know if this show is going to be like
no way.
The one.
They're not going to do that with Star
the
Wars.
The one timeline retconning device of all time.
I don't, or, dude. That would. I don't think they'll do it. I think they. I think somewhere in the you know,
Holocron.
Galactic Library, yeah. Holocron of Star Wars lore
right.
keepers. You know the. I think there's no time travel in Star Wars. I don't think.
We will see.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
That's my theory. Is that there somehow is different timelines for Ahsoka traveling to find Ezra, and I mean that's a whole other element of the show that I haven't even teased. But they are coming at this thing. All the panels. We got Rosario Dawson, Natasha Bordizzo, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Deanna Lee. Santo, who is Bruce Lee's goddaughter. She's in this. she's coming back as the character, the magistrate, Morgan Elsbeth.
She was the magistrate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. In Mando. So she'll be
in
this.
You know what? She was good, like, for such a, you know, for such a small role, and obviously it was a very, like, physical part, right? They kind of had their standoff and fight. But, like, man, you know how just, like, we've talked about, you know, there's certain actors, it can just be like their stance, their stature, their poise, their look. She had something, man, that I was like, she's a great villain. Yeah. Also, Ray Stevenson showing up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of, I that's Ray Stevenson, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah. No, you're 100% it.
I dig that guy.
Yeah.
I've always dug
great.
That guy. I am a staunch defender of Punisher Warzone as a legit great Punisher movie.
Nice,
I'll admit, like,
Three
it's not
going to
be for everybody. Yeah. But I love that movie. Ray Winstone.
That'd be different.
Oh, indeed. No, Ray Stevenson is he's been on fire, man. He was in some of our friends just watched RRR. I hadn't seen it, but he's great in that as like a very scene chewing villain.
It's also he did the voice. As Gar Saxon in Rebels, so it'll be cool to kind of see him.
I thought you meant he was on The Voice. He sang.
He was on The Voice
as
well. He's good friends with Carson Daly, but he's playing a different character in Ahsoka. He's playing Balin, and he
Who
voiced
appears
the character.
To be a Sith, right? He's a red
lightsaber. I mean,
he's
got the red lightsaber. I think at this point, we'll see kind of where he stands and. We're kind of getting at this idea that there was some folks that weren't, they were just separatists to begin with. For one side or the other, they didn't agree with that. They kind of agreed with Christopher Lee, Darth, oh my gosh.
Count Dooku,
yeah. Oh my gosh, what's going on here? It's late at night, losing it. But
yeah, it's pretty late.
It looks like he's kind of one of these Sith that might feel a little abandoned, on one side or the other. So
I do like. I mean, look, I love the way they've explored, like, you know, whether it was gaps in Lucas's storytelling or whether whether it was just lore that he didn't have time to cover in the course of his films. I don't know. You know, he seems to be the kind of person who would think of these things. But I do love the way that, like, this whole notion of, like, the rule of two with the Sith that kind of leads to, like, this betrayal and abandonment of apprentices and everything is, like, I love the way it's borne out some really great characters in the series where it's, like, you have Dooku who kind of is, like, is he a Sith? Is he a separatist? Is he split? Is he kind of neither? Is he an idealist? And how the Sith take advantage of idealism? Well,
they are calling him a Dark Jedi, apparently. Ooh, and so he does have an apprentice played by Ivana Sakno, who I don't know what else she was in. I'm looking it up right now. But she was also speaking on one of the panels. And she seems super excited. And she was able to admit that she was Balin Skull's apprentice. So now there you go. There's some kind of duality of maybe some old Sith sayers that are looking for to kind of bring it back.
How silly is it that it's like we get just like all these actors are so trained and we're so trained as the audience to be like, oh, you know, she was allowed to say this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was very funny. I mean, I used to watch
interviews with Michael Keaton going on talking to
Letterman
and being like, when I kill the Joker at the end of the movie.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, when I was reading, I have this book kind of old Star Wars articles from the New York Times, and some of the earlier articles were literally just describing, the review would just tell you the whole plot of Star Wars.
What a dream.
One preview said exactly what happened in the movie before the movie was 4 months before the movie was even released.
I'm so post spoiler. I'm in a weird headspace with my relationship to the internet and social media.
Yeah.
So it is very funny because I've been just trying to keep up with Celebration news.
Yeah.
I've been kind of diving back, dipping my toe back into stuff that it's I've been off for several months, and it's what a mess with how we consume information. That's for another show, though.
That's a good outpost topic. But yeah.
Bring back the outpost.
Bring back the outpost. Spoiler full outpost. But I mean, yeah. So, I mean, they're coming out strong with Ahsoka. Everyone seems very confident. I think the key in these conversations they're having is that they are not over explaining the series. And I think that's usually a good sign with Star Wars. I think they're trying to do the setup a little too much is, I think, when you have some issues.
I think the other thing, man, that we need to get to in terms of point, we need to get to a point, and we're maybe approaching it, where it's there's enough content in the there's enough content that the continuity simply cannot bear the weight of everything that's out there.
Right.
And how freeing that is whenever it gets to the point where people just have to start shrugging their shoulders and being that was that movie,
right
and
yeah.
This one, it works this way, and it's oh god, I can't wait till we get there.
Yep.
As soon as people nobody seems to realize, I think there's a big misconception in the fan community, mm-hmm. that consistency to continuity and holding true to lore is somehow valuable and somehow is a sign of quality. And it's worst thing.
You got to let it go. These things have to live on their own a little bit. Otherwise you can't enjoy them.
if somebody made the best, if somebody could make the best Star Wars movie in the world, and they were just
and there's one,
I don't know, they were just they were just but obviously the Sith, there were as many Siths as there were Jedi,
right?
Because it was kind of an equal opposite, and I'd just be great, I can handle, I love that,
yeah.
Fine, tell that
good.
Story,
yeah, that's good.
People it's, need
it, it just makes something up. Well, speaking of the Sith, which you seem very interested in, next big show on the docket.
Chris, have I ever told you the story of Darth Plagueis?
He was there too. He gave a great little talk.
Oh god, I know he was there. he's quickly becoming the new Anthony Daniels.
I was gonna say that Anthony Daniels is becoming the old Anthony Daniels. but the Star Wars The Acolyte. Which a very mysterious show kind of takes place very interesting. They made a clear point to say it takes place at the end of the High Republic. They're very clear about this, where it takes place. It's not during the High Republic. It's at the tail end of the High Republic. So they're insinuating the events of the High Republic have ended, and this is when this takes place.
Well, I think what they're actually insinuating is that if you want to understand this, you got to go buy all those books.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and this cast, they were doing work this weekend. I think this was the one that probably had the most appearances. I think they're really trying to sell this thing hard for what it is, and I think it's going to be great. It looks like it's going to basically be a Sith perspective, or not Sith, but Dark Side of the Force perspective show that's rooted in martial arts. It seems like that is kind of the focus of here's how they fight, here's what they do, here's how they're aggressors. And there's some Jedi that are remaining, and notably a Wookiee Jedi.
We've all asked for it. We've begged for it.
We all need it. Jonas Sumatamo of Penn State basketball fame.
Penn State basketball
is coming. He's coming back, man. He's gonna be a Wookiee Jedi. Delight to see on stage as always. The guy seems such like just warm-hearted, lucky to be here. I feel like he's got one of the best deals in Star Wars because he gets to experience it all and probably maybe one third the recognizability.
Still have a life.
Yeah exactly. Like he can live a world famous career without being quite the world fame.
You know what he gets to do too? He gets to do about, and you know, in whenever, I don't know, when does this thing hit? In the next year. He gets to do about 300 press appearances where he talks about the different ways he physicalized this Wookiee from Chewbacca.
Chewbacca would do this. I
studied the movements of 14 just, species of ape and dog. Yeah, and
just wild, but great to see him. So he'll be a Wookiee Jedi, which I think is... That's the first of it, right? That's
I'm excited. I think, yeah. And this is for me. I mean, we're Carrie-Anne Moss. This is the one with Carrie-Anne Moss, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This is the mystery of Carrie-Anne Moss to me. That it's like, I know that she has worked consistently for the last. I just haven't seen her in things. Like nothing she's been in is stuff that I watch, and I think she's just so compelling on screen. Right. I think Trinity's one of the greatest characters. I think she's a great physical actor. I think she's really interesting. And it does make me wonder, I'm like, why did maybe it's just that she went into doing things that like weren't for me, but I'm like, why did her career zig when others zagged off those movies?
Yeah.
You know, it feels like everybody else kind of like
she kind of was able to
like rebound, like bounce off those in a positive way. And she's worked, but I just, you don't see her in as much.
No.
God, is she good. I'm so eager to see her.
I feel like that is kind of the card they are holding back in this series, because I think she's probably, as far as a name goes, I mean, I would think she's kind of headlining this thing, and she was not at Celebration, so, I mean, we learned very little.
Well, she's definitely a good guy the whole way through, I think, right?
We don't know. Wait a second. Yeah, if you could catch some sneak peeks of the trailer, and it was very like a martial arts forward trailer to say like, here is a bunch of force wielders fighting each other with the force, with and without lightsabers, and I feel like it looks cool. I think it's going to be an interesting series. I think it's going to be, it almost looks kind of like like a school-based show, right, where we're going to have a lot of sparring, and then the sparring's going to get real at one point, and the school's going to have to they're going to have to actually defend themselves or attack something or someone. I don't know what. But I can't imagine a series from Disney Star Wars that's going to be making the dark side users of the Force, dark Force users, dark side force user. I don't know quite the order of those words, but I can't imagine a series where it would be too heavy on a dark side perspective.
It does feel like I do, you know. Yeah, I wonder if I would love to see you know a version of this that isn't defanged, you know, that is the full version, but we'll see.
Yeah,
like, we'll see. I'm sure what we get.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think my hope is that with the series that, like, so Acolyte to me feels like it, you look, it's all Star Wars, right? Star Wars is going to have a billion eyeballs on it at all times, but it feels like Acolyte has the opportunity to fly under the radar, right? It's not like, it's not Mando had that opportunity.
Yes.
In the midst of all the sequels and, you know, the initial Disney run of films, that Mando had the opportunity to kind of be like, well, we're the guys you don't expect anything from. We're the TV crew. And then it like comes out and, you know, it was really strong, right?
Now it's their world.
Now it's their flagship, right? And so I'm like, Acolyte feels a little bit like the thing where it's like, well, everybody's paying attention to Ahsoka. Everybody's paying attention to Mando. Everybody's hearing about these new movies, right, from these big directors. Everybody was paying attention to Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan kind of buckled under the pressure, right?
Right.
So it's like, it's kind of interesting when they're in this position that you know, maybe they can do something with that. Maybe that buys them some freedom. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. It's a headline show run by Leslie Headland of Russian Doll fame, and I think, I mean, she does some fun stuff with just plot and visual and just. I think, again, I think Disney is finding their groove. I'm very interested to see how far they're going to allow some of these directors to push it, because I feel like, and showrunners to push it, because I feel like Leslie Headland has a very defined visual perspective. The same with Charmaine about Chinoy. Like, both of them have a very clear aesthetic. And I'm interested to see, historically, they usually have to follow form, but like, maybe this is kind of a exception to the rule. And I'm hoping that, like, if they want to pitch this as a funky martial arts like looking series, like, I think that would be awesome. I think it's time that we kind of explore those realms a little bit, because the show, we can't all be standing on a volume. We have to, like, Andor right there is an example of...
Yeah, man, Andor looks...
It looks real, it feels real, and it had a visual style that was great.
Yeah, because they went to Europe and then they went on set.
Oh, yeah, it's so just good. It is in there. So, I mean, Acolyte, they didn't really release many details. We know who's in it. We know that it seemed like it's a fairly young cast, and I imagine it's going to be some kind of school days of a Sith school of Jedi and trying to figure out themselves and who they want to be, based on kind of at the end of the High Republic before the prequel. So maybe we'll kind of start to go into the fall of why the Jedi are the way we see them in 1999's Phantom Menace. the takeaway there for me was just like Wookiee Jedi. And then they kind of go into a little Andor 2 season 2. I mean, Tony Gilroy, it just comes out basically like, I wrote a thing. It almost seems too easy for him at this point. He's just a brilliant writer.
He's one of those guys that he's so toes the line of being like, yeah, really arrogant, but
almost
you're just
arrogant.
Like,
yeah,
but it's like he is really good. And I like his stuff, so I'm like, yeah, you get to do it, man.
I mean, they just seem like the whole cast was almost breathing like a sigh of relief. I feel like they hid the cast last Celebration, like they hid the show, and now they're coming out full force.
Go watch Michael.
Go
Clayton.
Watch it. Yeah. Oh, it's the best. It's the best. His little speech. I think Diego Luna is. I don't know if he's now a producer or has always been a producer, but he was also talking about it with Tony Gilroy, and just the capable hands they're in and the thoughtfulness of their decisions in making this. Like, they've got the cast. They've got. I'm just like, I don't even know what else they could have said about it, because it's like they literally just like sat on the stage, kind of slumped over, being like, yep, it's going to be good.
I know. Like, you can just sense. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, the ace they're holding.
Yes. It
like,
gave
they
me...
know how good season one was, and they're just sitting there being like,
yeah,
yeah, we basically delivered on the promise.
Yeah.
You'll see.
And guess what? Yeah, all the information now we don't have to teach people. Like, that's all built in. So guess what? Hold on to your butts. I got real 2015, 2014... Force Awakened vibes when they were doing all those pressers. So that was good. And then the last thing that's just like looking ahead even more for next year's Skeleton Crew, which is going to be this kind of, was it John Watts? And I've heard it described as Amblin-esque entertainment of a group of kids kind of going on an adventure. And if you can catch the kind of the preview, you kind of see those shadowy forest with the spotlight shining through right in the trailer. So there's a definite vibe they're going for here.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch this one.
It seems like it's geared towards more children.
John Watts has, you know, it's like he's become the guy who... JJ was this guy for a while.
Right.
Where they're like, oh, you're the guy who, like, gets adolescence and can, like, in the magic of childhood in the way that Spielberg could. And you know what? They were wrong about JJ. They were wrong about John Watts. Like I love his first Spider-Man. I really, really like his second Spider-Man. And I'm like, the third Spider-Man was like, okay, dude, I get it. And
yeah.
I haven't seen, I know his like kind of like calling card film was Cop Car, and I never saw it. I heard it was really good. This one just, it, you know, to go back to the whatever 2-decade-old Patton Oswalt joke about like, well, you know, like Darth Vader? Yeah, he's a little kid.
He's a little kid, yeah.
Like, I don't, like, Star Wars for me, like, what, you know.
Right.
What, yeah. I think what I love so much about Andor was that I realized that, like, the thing that often gets, like, at this point, a lot of the directors and producers and writers who go into making Star Wars projects go in with, like, hey, I'm making a Star Wars. Let's talk about what we love about Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Tony Gilroy was like, Star Wars was like an allegory for war. And he made a wartime series.
Sure.
And I'm like, no matter whether you're dealing with Jedi and the Force or whether you're dealing with, you know, a Western on the outskirts of a Republic or whether you're dealing with, you know, stealing the secret files to get them back, you need to set it during wartime. And
yeah.
And you know, maybe he's going to thread that needle and this will be, like, you know, children during war.
Well, just, yeah, that's...
This one isn't.
Yeah.
This one didn't win me over.
I mean, I guess so. It does take place during the New Republic era. So that's that kind of Ahsoka, Mando timeline. So we'll see kind of where this lands.
Which must be so brief because the First Order really seems to...
Yeah, that really picks up. So yeah, maybe these kids are the next First Order. Maybe that's... Maybe it's a trick show where like follow these kids and then we realize
if you're following a bunch of kids that they make you fall in love with and then it like turns out like at the end they all start singing like Tomorrow's For Me or whatever the song is from Cabaret.
Right,
Tomorrow Belongs to Me.
Yeah.
It's like...
Wait a second.
You know that scene?
Like, yeah.
Oh my God, if they pull one of those, that would be... Then I'd be on board.
Wow. Wow. Then you'd be like, wow, I'm watching every season of this. But it seems like Jude Law is kind of some kind of, I don't know. I always just picture him as his character from AI. And then he just has a bunch of kids. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see this thing. I mean, they showed the, they didn't really talk too much on stage about it and that... How they, I don't know if it's just like scheduling of who they got on the stage or not, but they pushed the two casts very hard for Ahsoka and Acolyte. But this,
well, what does that say that like in this day and age, like,
yeah,
like that you can't even get the cast of a Star Wars to show up for like the Star Wars?
It's
like,
right.
It's the bloom is off the rose right now, right?
Yeah,
like, there was a period where it was like 2015, 2016, you get attached to one of these things. You get attached to Marvel, I mean, at that period. You're like,
yeah, I'm saying
Comic-Con, San Diego.
Harrison Ford is showing up.
yeah, it's the end of the world, right?
Exactly. So I think, I mean, those are kind of the big takeaways. I think, I feel like they kind of were almost sunsetting Mando a little bit. I think they were kind of... Carl Weathers got a nice segment where it was almost, I felt like the vibes of him saying goodbye. I'm sure he'll be in the movie and stuff, but it was kind of like, I feel like they were closing down. They did not mention Pedro Pascal. They did not really even talk about Mando. I feel like they're kind of sunsetting that.
Well, I like the whole segment they did really talking about, you know, the impact of the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's been erased from history. No mention of Taika's movie. They had a segment with I think Carboni, which, by the way, good to see him up and doing well and able to still do these things. I know the guy's had a hard year.
So Tony Boni.
It was good to see him, and
you love Tony Boni.
He did a nice deal, Tony Boni. He did. I mean, I feel like that's what Anthony Daniels calls him. They had a nice little rivalry going, which was like at a point was kind of like, all right, we can move this a little bit along. And then Ian McDiarmid was there, kind of doing his doing the laugh. At this point, those two guys they're just like quoting lines on stage.
Yeah.
And people are going nuts. And then they ended kind of the show with a little appearance from DV himself, Darth Vader, Hayden Christensen. He showed up.
I like where you got to. To give people a peek behind the sausage, as you like to say on the text thread, You said I love when an actor enters their ball cap wearing face.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, I had to put that on the text chain. Yeah, there comes a time when I think any actor. Usually, it's just like a dude actor. Just like I'm gonna say, like when they're 44 years old, whatever production they're working on, they get the ball cap, and that cap is on for interviews everywhere. And Hayden Christensen is now in his ball cap phase.
Well, it's like there's two. There's kind of
Leo's
like two.
Leo's been rocking one for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. You love to see it.
You're good to see it. And I mean, it's just nothing but love. What like kind of a fun trajectory for Hayden Christensen, which I'm sure at points in his career he probably thought, wow, Star Wars may not have been the move.
Look, it is.
And now. Look at this. He's in a room, people just screaming his name. And it was there all along. It's not like there has been a change in sentiment. I think it's just that the door was open for us all to kind of come and celebrate him.
I think there's been a change in sentiment. I think people have warmed to him. Bit. I think like people really didn't like him. I think I think the interesting one is like, you know, what's going to happen with, you know, Daisy Ridley. She, you know, for all the criticism of the sequels, she kind of came out of it unscathed. Now, I mean, not maybe as a human, but like in terms of like people always were like, she did well, she did what she needed to, you know, but you look at like Boyega, who clearly had a really contentious relationship with the producers and his character and the direction they took everything. You know, he to me strikes me as like, he's going to be the Harrison Ford of the sequel trilogy.
Oh,
it's like, he's going to have a long and celebrated career. Yep. And at some point, some of that frustration, some of that anger is going to get sanded down, and he's going to come back around, and he's going to be able to say like, who cares?
You know, the Daisy Ridley, the movie with Daisy Ridley 20 years from now, when they're ushering in the Skeleton Crew kids.
Oh my God. That's the reason they're doing it. They're trying to find the next Tom Holland who's going to play the role for 40 years for them.
Spider-Force. Yeah. No, I mean, I think at this point, they're really just kind of geared themselves. I think they've realized that, hey, it doesn't matter what this thing is. If you wait 10 years, people are going to love it.
That's the biggest learning, right?
That's the Lucasfilm way. And of course, we got an Indiana Jones trailer, which looked like it ruled. And I'm gonna say it's Top Gun of 2023, Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
I think it's gonna kick butt. In the box office, I think it's gonna be a great movie.
It's weird to think about Indiana Jones and the Rolling Stones.
Yeah,
I'm jonesing for some Stones.
These times they are changing. Like a Rolling Stone, but I mean, that was my Star Wars Celebration experience. I caught the recaps. I recommend that for anyone. And happy 40th anniversary to Return of the Jedi. That was the thing. And Sam, with any luck, I think we'll be doing our next show live from Star Wars Celebration 2025 in Japan
on the main stage.
On the main stage.
That's
right. We've got 2 years to practice. Maybe they'll let us back in finally.
Wait, wait, 2025?
Yeah, 2 years, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So they don't do it every year?
Well, they're skipping a year for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh boy.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Anyway,
Disney's shutting down. Sorry.
Well, we're gonna do for the Patreons at the Corellian Cruiser level, you know, you'll also, of course, be invited to an exclusive sake bar in Japan with the droids.
Yeah.
And we'll see you in 2025. That'll be the next time. That's the next episode. We'll record.
To that Patreon guest that's going to join us, bring your wallet. That's all I got to say about that. Well, I mean, I think that's
all the news that's fit to print, my man.
Yeah. I think that's it, man. We did it. It's good to have you back, Sam.
Good to be back. Hopefully I'm back on more of these. I know I'm not. Look, I have not been able. I'm in a new role. You know, new job.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah.
It's been keeping me busy. So it's been tough. But I will get caught up on Mando season.
Yeah, there
three,
you
and
go.
I will try and join for the at least Sam. For the finale.
Sam.
Yeah.
Do or do not. There is no try. I was waiting for you to say the word try. You almost said it once. I was like,
I hate it.
But hey, this is great.
Hey, what's Daisy Ridley's full name?
I don't know, do you?
Yeah, it's Daisy, Jazz, Isabel, Ridley.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, lose your mind over that.
No wonder she's a movie star. Come on.
Daisy Jazz. Yeah, that's
great. Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm elated. I can't wait for this movie. I know. There's been a very few things that, aside from like
you've loved her since she said, That's just Tito.
Probably a bunch of for spare parts. Where's Tito in all this? That's a good question. If anyone else had a fun time watching Celebration, or if you were there, hey, write into us, droidspot@gmail.com. Follow us at droidspot on Facebook and Instagram, droidspot@gmail.com. Let us know.
Watch the Jedi Fallen Order playthrough.
Yeah, watch the Jedi. That comes out. The whole Celebration was sponsored by a Jedi Survivor, so that'll be cool. And if we can watch Ryan play through that.
Sponsored by? Who paid for that? Them or the guys who licensed their product?
That's what I was trying to figure out. I was like, what is this
what
like?
What does that even mean?
Is this like some kind of, where they're charging themselves the credit card? What's going on here?
Yeah, that's some money laundering if I ever saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Right out and open, safest place to be. But leave a comment if you liked this episode. If you didn't, leave a comment. Leave a review on iTunes and...
Don't worry, I probably won't be back. If you didn't like this episode.
Sam, here's the problem is Mike ends these. I don't know how to end them. So I always say, like, do we say that? That'll do it. Should we do
that'll
it at the same
it.
Time?
That'll two, do it. Three, that'll do it.
Do it for the droids you're looking for.
These are the Star Wars podcast.
And me?
That'll do, Dick. That's what Mike should start saying.
That'll do, Wookie.
Hey, thanks for listening.